time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
All right, yes, I am your host, Johnny Gowdy. Thank you for tuning in to How Did I Get Here? It's a podcast where I interview people. Well, I don't know if they're actually interviews. They're conversations I have with people about who they are and how they got where they're at. We also have special segments on the show. I have an uncle. He drinks a lot and has a lot of opinions that are based on nothing, which to me are very funny. I call this segment The Trials and Tribulations of Uncle Jack. And now I'd like to introduce a new segment. You might have heard him on the year-end show, my cousin Eric. He will review movies. And this segment is called Shit Just Got Real. Real being spelled R-E-E-L. Shit Just Got Real with Eric Rodolfo.
Shit Just Got Real.
What's up, everybody? I'm Eric, and this is Shit Just Got Real. Quick little look at what's going on in the world of film right now. The big news of the moment is, of course, the Oscar nominations that just came out today. The Artist got 10 nominations and Hugo got 11, but I haven't seen either of those movies, so I'm not going to talk about them. What I'm going to talk about is the fact that the Oscars has changed how many movies they nominate for Best Picture. A couple years ago, they changed it from 5 to 10, and now it's gone from 10 to somewhere between 5 and 10, depending on how many of these movies meet their complicated algorithm. And the spirit of changing this rule was to recognize popcorn fare, for lack of a better word, action movies, comedies that were really well made and deserving of recognition. But instead of doing that and nominating something like Bridesmaids or Drive, we got a lot of the same old shit. We got, you know, The Help. We got Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. We got War Horse. Period pictures, 9/11 movies, fucking Tom Hanks, you know, stuff that's really, really not exciting or different or thinking outside the box at all. But the fact that we expected something else is probably more of an indictment on us than it is on the Oscars. I guess as far as snubs goes, everybody wants to talk about who got snubs. I thought that Bridesmaids and Drive were two of the best movies of the year, and the fact that, you know, half the nationally recognized critics that went and saw and reviewed Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close gave it a positive review. Yet, Bridesmaids, Drive were almost universally loved by critics and completely ignored here. Ryan Gosling had probably the best year you could have as an actor. He was funny in a comedy in Crazy Stupid Love. He was really great in Drive as kind of this man with no name, Clint Eastwood kind of Western character. And I thought he also gave a great performance in The Ides of March, which was a really, really good movie. And I'm shocked that he didn't even get the token nomination, even if he wasn't going to win for any of those movies. He deserves some recognition for being, like, the most accepted actor this year as far as the combination of audience acceptance and critical acceptance. I was really surprised that the last Harry Potter movie wasn't nominated or at least given some more recognition than like the everyday best art direction, best special effects bullshit. It was a really good movie, you know. I'm not a giant Harry Potter fan, but that was a really good movie. And while I didn't expect the Academy to give them the Lord of the Rings treatment and give them 13 Oscars for a whole series of movies, I thought that it would at least get some kind of, you know, token nod, at least like an Alan Rickman Best Supporting Actor or something like that, but no dice. I'm really happy about the recognition that The Artist is getting, even though I haven't seen it, which is absolutely insane. I just think it's such a departure from what we normally see in the theater. It's a silent movie made by French, written and directed by French people. Just something totally interesting and different. And the fact that it got nominated means, excuse me, more people are going to go out and see it, and I think that's pretty awesome. Really happy that Gary Oldman and Jonah Hill got nominated. I love both those guys. I thought Moneyball was great, and even though Jonah Hill didn't really give like an Oscar-worthy performance, I guess, I really like him, so I'm kind of happy that it went that way. I'm really excited for Melissa McCarthy and Bridesmaids. I thought that was really well-deserved, as well as the screenplay nomination for Bridesmaids. I'm glad that it did get recognized there, even though it should be in the Best Picture category. Maybe I'm most excited about a potential Nick Nolte acceptance speech. I think that could be epic. Too bad this isn't the Golden Globes, where they serve booze, but Jesus, that would be awesome. Well, I think that's it. In my opinion, you gotta go see Drive. You gotta go see Bridesmaids. I thought that despite the brutal anal rape, that the girl with the dragon tattoo was phenomenal also. So go see that. Watch the Oscars. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Eric Rudolphy. That's ERICRUDOLPHY. Me and Johnny Gowdy are gonna be live tweeting the Oscars. So follow us on Twitter, get our input during the show, and see you guys at the movies.
Shit just got real.
All right, that was my cousin Eric with his Oscar nomination special of Shit Just Got Real. It's our new segment here on How Did I Get Here. He'll appear every once in a while, and we'll talk about movies. And yes, we will live tweet the Oscars. So follow us on Twitter on February 26th. My guest today is Kevin Connor. You can hear him on the radio on KUT 90.5 here in Austin, or KUT.org if you're listening somewhere else, KUT.org. I don't know if you're supposed to spell it or say it. I never really know, because people look at me funny when I say like universityoftexas.edu. Anyway, so you can hear Kevin on Saturdays on KUT.org or .org, 90.5 in Austin, Saturdays 11 to 4. He's got a show called Music with Kevin Connor. And we had an interesting conversation. He came by the apartment. And look, without further ado, here's my friend Kevin Connor.
I am a DJ.
So having killed Folkways and having now, what is the show called?
Music with Kevin Connor.
So you are the DJ and you are what you play, aren't you?
Pretty much.
Yeah?
Yeah, I am all over the place, both in my head and on my playlist.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you, is there any focus to it, or is it like...
Well, it's the longest show on KUT. Music show. It's as far as length, it's 11 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
On Sundays, that's so, 5 hours, or Saturdays.
Saturdays. 5 hours, and when I first joined KUT, which is about four years ago, a little bit over that, I was part of the Folkways rotation on
right.
Saturdays. And every Folkways DJ had his own style, and mine was much more contemporary and Americana.
Right.
And then over time, they kind of moved the Folkways, traditional Folkways show to Sunday. And so then it was Saturday Folkways from 11 to 1 and then whatever. From 1 to
yeah,
4.
Yeah.
And finally, they just said, okay, it's just Music with Kevin Connor. Unless you have a cool name for your show like Eclecticos or Left of the Dial or
right.
Horizontes,
yeah.
You're just Music with
yeah.
blank. Music with Jay Trachtenberg. Music with Susan Castle.
Well, there's Twine Time.
Twine Time,
yeah,
with the Hall of Famer Paul Ray.
That's a good one.
Yeah, oh, that's a fine show.
So you're not from Texas. This is Kevin Connor. You were at one point the morning guy on KGSR.
Yes, I was.
And then you did you run Emmy Television, the music station here in Austin?
Or You'd like to think that, wouldn't you, John?
I don't.
Do people do this to you, like, you know, like on Johnny Carson? They would call him John to make him seem like they really, you know. No, well, John.
Some of my friends do that. Hey, John. I respect you. You can call me John all you want.
Confidentially,
I like it.
John.
Yeah.
No, with Emmy Television, I was vice president of music and artist relations, basically program director of the music part of it. But and then I was at KGSR for the better part of 15, 16 years with a short stint in California, a banishment. Then before that, I'd been the morning guy on the Top 40 channel. I was the Bobby Bones of the late 80s.
Whoa.
And before that, I was the morning guy on Z102, or one of the morning guys, part of
the team. How long have you been in Austin?
30 years this past August.
Wow. And so when did you start? Did you start in radio before here?
Just college radio and answering the phone on WBCN when I got out of school.
You went to BCN?
Huh?
Wow.
No, I answered the phone.
Right, sorry. Okay, Sorry.
There's a big difference.
Right, yeah.
But it's funny, I was just thinking about this morning. For the first time, like, how many years later, I was answering the phones, and the DJs were busy, you know, picking out their tunes and grooving, and there was a bank of people that could be as many as three people answering the phone, and it wouldn't just be for requests. It would be, hey, where's the free clinic, or I need a ride to New York, all this stuff, all these kind of listener services that, you know, legally you could never do now, because
but did you do it? Like, hey, this guy Steve Wilson needs a ride to New York.
No, you just do it on the phone, and there was a big book, and you would you'd say, oh yeah, here's a guy going to New York, and you'd like match people up. It was like...
What year was that?
77.
Wow, that's insane.
It was cool.
Yeah.
But I just kind of got up this morning and thought, in hindsight, why didn't I just do everything under my power to get, like, the weekend overnight slot on that channel?
Why didn't you? You didn't think of it.
I just was so, you know, in awe of those guys, you know?
Had you been, like, a fan of radio your whole life? Like, did you grow up listening to it?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
My mom worked in radio and on the business side of it, and when she was young, and would tell
in
us
in Boston.
In Boston,
that's where you're from,
okay. And tell us all these great stories about the announcers on the channel and the people that would come in, Congressman John Kennedy and Ted Williams and people like that. And you could go up to the roof of their radio station and see down into Fenway Park. And she was a huge Red Sox fan.
Wow!
So always had this, you know, image of radio as being a very cool, cool thing.
When did you know that you wanted to do it?
When I failed at about five other things. Really, John, I wanted to be a dentist, but then I realized that you spend most of your life with your fingers in somebody else's mouth.
You don't want to do that.
It started to gross me out.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Play records, drink coffee, make wisecracks, occasionally stand for a couple of hours in a parking lot.
That's
and
not
give
so
away
bad.
Bumper stickers to the same people that were there the week before. Not a bad life.
So then you started. What brought you to Austin? Like, what made you? What made you? What
who
brought
invited
you, from
you
Boston
to, Austin?
To Austin? Yeah,
is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Sage and Jim, my friend Sage Parker, and Jim Ferguson, who were friends of mine in school in Virginia.
Uh huh.
Went to a little school in Virginia because I wanted to be John Boy Walton. I wanted to be a writer.
Really?
It's really.
Yeah.
And went to this little school and fell in with a bunch of Texans. And they were musicians, and they turned me on to Willie Nelson and Stephen Fromholtz and Willis Allen Ramsey and Guy Clark and Townes Van Zandt and all of that stuff. It was during the great progressive country scare of the mid-1970s. And got on the radio there at school, and that was really fun. And liked doing it better than anything.
Yeah.
But before I left... gentleman named Al Bettis, and you know, Billy Gibbons and Carolyn Wonderland and all the Houston guitar people all know Big Al Bettis. He said, Kevin, you should move to Austin, not just Texas, but Austin. That would be good. And I went back to Boston for a while, and I worked in politics, and I worked in...
What did you do in politics?
I was the press secretary for the president of the Boston City Council.
How was that?
Lawrence S. DeCara. It was... Who should have been the mayor?
Yeah.
In a just and proper world, he would have been the mayor.
But he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. He was on the city council.
What did you do?
I wrote press releases, and really? I wrote his speech when he was voted president of the Boston City Council. That
That's
was
pretty
fun.
Cool.
Yeah. I worked at the John F. Kennedy Library and Museum when it first opened.
That's cool.
Yeah. Worked at the Harvard Coop, the Harvard University department store.
That's very cool.
And all kinds of stuff like that, but wasn't really doing what I really wanted to do. And so this wedding invitation came, and I'd always wanted to check out Austin, and I, you know, packed up a little suitcase and came down. And then a couple of weeks later, I called my parents and said, hey, you know that trunk in the garage?
Yeah, will you send that to me?
Just send that down. And stuck it out.
That's good.
Except your little hometown, Houston, John.
Yeah.
When I landed, they didn't have that chute that goes from the plane to the airport.
Right.
You actually had to walk down the steps and across the tarmac.
Yeah.
I could not believe it. I thought it was candid camera. I thought, this can't really be the atmosphere. Of course, it was August 2nd.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
But I couldn't believe the air in Houston. I thought Alan Funt or somebody from Candid Camera was going to come around and go, this is not really the atmosphere.
The world's largest hairdryer in front of you.
Yes.
That also has mist.
But it was. So I learned to walk a little slower and talk a little slower and take things a little easier, and that's just fine.
Was it hard to adjust to the speed?
No,
because I imagine Austin in the 70s was so fucking slow. It was like almost stopped. You know what I mean? I used to come here when I was a kid, but I was a little kid, so I mean, I remember, you know, everyone was high. But I remember there was a lot of, there was so much music here that even, like, I remember seeing stuff I can't remember if Access Television even start? Did it start in the 70s?
I don't know. Here? I don't know. I didn't have cable then.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
So when did you get into radio once you were here?
About 2 weeks in.
Okay.
I saw an ad in the paper for a part-time job for KCSW. And I thought, wow, Kevin Connor in the Southwest. This has got to happen.
This means something.
Yeah. And it was actually KNOW, one of the early radio stations here in town. And KCSW was their FM station. And it was actually out where the transmitter was, out in a field in, out towards Buda, I believe. I only went out there once or twice. But I got a job at the mothership, at the AM station, and doing everything. The kind of entry-level job that radio doesn't have anymore. You know, loading the Coke machine, sweeping the parking lot.
Right.
Helping the engineer, filling in for any shift you possibly could. And then just kept...
When you filled in for shifts, was your voice already there? That's always the question I have for guys that work in radio and women as well. Just like, what came first, the voice or the job?
I never really tried to put on that much of a voice.
No, but you have a good, strong voice.
Why, thank you. I heard your whole Lois Lowe interview, and you know, you can just, it's pretty much the same thing, except she was Odessa and Lubbock, and now
it's
Boston, and
well, these are interesting stories because there's so much that you guys have gone through because of the changes in radio, just like in music.
But let's be honest, have you run out of musicians already for this?
No, not at all.
How did I get here?
No. I'm just
how did
trying
I
to
run
spread...
out so quickly? Where are all the musicians? Have you had any drummers?
I actually, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
just
one.
Checking. Well, one.
But I really, it was a really good one. It was Donnie Wynn, so that was good. He had good stories.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So you came here and you were doing filling in shifts.
What, yeah. I was a waiter at the Red Tomato.
What was that?
The health Red
food
Tomato
place or something?
I think it's been an Indian place for a long time.
Okay.
No, it's an Italian restaurant, and on Guadalupe, at about 16th or 17th, kept getting jobs in radio. I worked at the Easy Listening Station, Easy 102. When Clear Channel took over the station, it was Hispanic music, Mexican music during the day, black music at night. Clear Channel came in, took over, and at the time they only had like 12 stations.
What year was that?
That would be about 83.
So 83. Clear Channel was around then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but again, it was this kind of small San Antonio company, and it was easy listening music. And settle back and relax. Reagan's in office, take the blue pill. Yeah. Everything's right, you know? And I would just get so stoned going to work.
You'd have
and
to.
Do the news, and it was all my news stories were about the Sandinistas and stuff like that. And,
but you're all pleasant when you're reading it. Oh, looks like the Sandinistas are...
The freedom fighters are advancing on the army. And the big hit artist that we had was Zamfir, master of the pan flute. Whenever we'd play Zamfir, somebody would call up and say, "What was that? I almost ran off the road. That was so awesome."
What?
That was Zamfir.
It sounds like a joke.
No, it was real.
I've heard
they don't
that
have
Zamfir.
Beautiful music stations anymore. They just don't.
I guess
because
they don't.
They're chasing the kids, John.
Well, wait. Let me ask you, what was the state of radio at the time? Even when you were on the easy listening station, did you have some kind of control over what you played?
Oh,
as
no.
long as you stayed within the parameters of...
No, it was all on a big tape.
Okay.
Yeah. No free form radio of in easy listening. What's the point?
I guess not. So what happened after easy listening?
I got the job as the production director at K98, which is now Kiss FM, the
okay.
top 40 station.
Right.
And I was producing commercials and keeping track of all the commercials, and kind of fell in with their morning show and started doing character voices on the morning show and writing all these little skits. JR was the morning guy then, and we had JR TV, and we had crazy skits about fake TV shows that were on the network. We had crazy fake commercials about stores that were at Mopac Mall. Everything was lower level next to Dingleberries. I mean, and it's just crazy stuff. You know, they didn't have a food court. They had a food stall and stuff like Just Mustard.
What year?
This is
Just Mustard. That's awesome. What year was that?
That was about 84 or so.
So that was the format of the Zoo already out, kind of?
I guess so.
Was that?
I guess so.
Was it here in Austin? Because they had one in Houston then.
Well, we were kind of a zoo. We didn't call it a zoo.
But was that like a franchise?
No, they're just... Those kind of guys.
Yeah,
we're a zoo, we're wacky.
Boner you know? The intern.
But yeah. Some of the stuff that we did, you know, was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And that's when K98 had the big raft race.
I don't know that
was people would build rafts and be hundreds of giant rafts, kind of like big floats on Town Lake.
Yeah.
And big fun all-day party with themes and everything like that.
So was that a full-time job, writing skits and stuff for that? Was that...
Well, that became... My main job that I was hired for was to make sure of the commercials.
Right.
And, you know, that's where the money is
right.
to make sure the commercials all
so you did both.
Get done. Yeah, and I did the other thing, too.
Yeah.
Then I left there and briefly was on KTXZ.
What is that?
The Big 1560.
Okay.
On the AM.
Yeah.
It was in Westlake. And Sammy Allred and a guy that I nicknamed Rocket Bob Moore were the morning team, and I was doing afternoons. I think Brian Beck had already quit and gotten a better job, and I was the afternoon guy.
Okay.
Fred Cantu was our program director.
Wow.
Yes.
The news guy.
And on the 4th of July of 1986, I was filling in for the morning guys because Sammy was playing at Farm Aid. They had Farm Aid 2, the second Farm Aid, on the 4th of July. So it was a combo Farm Aid
at
Manor Downs.
Yeah.
1986.
Yeah.
And Sammy got us all passes and everything, so I was going to go out there later. And Fred called, and he said, "Easy 102, where I used to work, has just changed format. They're coming after us." And I remember distinctly looking at the phone going, "We're a little AM station with a one share. They have to be setting their sights higher." And I said, "Thank you, Fred." Hung up, got done on the air. Went to the back to Easy 102 and knocked on the door and applied for a job right away, and then went to Farm Aid. And so a couple of weeks later, I was working there. And Z102 was playing this new format, classic rock.
Okay.
This is a new thing.
Yeah.
But we messed them up a little bit. The music director and I were pushing to play the guys who had an office downstairs. They're really good. They're really popular. Fabulous Thunderbirds.
Oh.
And Stevie Ray Vaughan said, "This goes perfect with classic rock."
Yeah.
And then we started playing the True Believers and the Reavers and
wow.
the Wild Seeds mixed in with the classic rock. And people were liking it for a while. And KLBJ was considered the big corporate rock station at the time. They were playing, you know, hair bands. And
was
you weren't ever in a hair band, were you?
No.
Okay. I didn't want to say anything unkind.
No, I missed that. No, go ahead.
And so then one day, late 86, early 87, a guy named Roland Swenson and a woman named Casey Cage came over to the radio station.
Are these names made up, like Loris Lowe and Dale Dudley and Kevin Connor and Casey Cage and all these like alliterated names?
These are real people, John. You can look them up on the internet.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
And Roland said, and he was representing the Chronicle, he said, we're going to do this thing called South by Southwest. Do you guys want to be our radio station? And the GM looked at me and I said, yeah. Sounds good.
Because you guys were into the local...
We were the radios, yeah. The first radio sponsor of South by Southwest back in 87.
Wow.
And then...
And you were directly involved in that?
Yeah.
And so what was South by... Like, what was... Do you remember, like, the total of bands, the total of people that came? Because I'm sure you had to tell your bosses what the projected
numbers were. Well, the funny thing is now, where we have become a spring break destination, the reason... That South by Southwest. No, really.
No, I know. It's just weird that
is true.
Yeah, the first one I played was in 1989, so it is funny to me at this point to like go.
Well, you remember what it was like then.
Yeah.
The clubs in 1986.
But I mean, the very first one must have been just
225 bands.
It's a lot of fucking bands, even for that.
Yeah. You look back on the list, and even some of the big Austin bands of the time weren't there. They were out on tour and stuff like that. But the whole reason to have it during spring break week is because you could hear crickets chirp on 6th Street
yeah.
during that week, because UT, everybody went to the beach.
Yeah.
And so it was an opportunity to put some people in the clubs when they would be empty.
Right.
And now, of course,
yeah.
you know, not only does the whole... music, film, and interactive world come for South by Southwest, but now there's another whole, maybe, I don't know, 100,000 people, kids that come here for spring break instead of going to the beach.
For the
and they're
music?
Not they're not buying badges.
No.
They're not buying wristbands.
What are they doing when they're here? Just because there's a
Hanging
lot of people
out,
here. There's,
trying to get all the free stuff.
Right, they're going to the Chuggin' Monkey and like, or whatever. It
or
doesn't
trying
have
to go
music
to free
in
parties,
it.
Anything that
oh,
they can
right,
get into.
Right.
They want to enjoy their live music at the same price point they pay for their recorded music.
Right.
Nothing.
It's fucking kids.
I tell you what, man.
Taking it away from us.
Kids these days, they don't value a dollar. Don't like to chew, but they sure can swallow,
John. So how did you guys feel at the end of that South by Southwest? did you feel like it was a success? Did organizers go like, okay, we're going to do this next year for sure?
Oh, by that point, they were...
Already.
Into it, yeah. And then when...
Did you sponsor the second one, or were you still with the
second
station?
One, and then management changed at Z102, and several of us were out, and I went to work for South by Southwest. I was the entire sales and PR department, and that was interesting.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
bet it was.
Working on that
So side. Was that third or fourth?
That was the third one.
Third one, wow.
And then I went back to the Top 40 station. The star of the show had moved on, and they made me the main host of the morning show. And that was interesting.
So you were the morning show of the pop station. Did you play music or was it all entertainment?
No, a lot of music.
Was it like music isn't entertainment? I need to rephrase my question a little bit.
A lot of music and very, very little entertainment, actually. But it was weird because I had already gotten, you know, on Z102, the opportunity to play really good music in Austin.
Right.
And I had a show on Sunday nights. Local music show called The Sound of Our Town. And that, to me, was the most fun thing about, you know, being on the radio in Austin.
Yeah.
I mean, gee whiz, look at all the music around here.
Yeah.
And so going back to the Top 40 station, K98, they didn't care about that stuff. You know, that was just not part of it.
Right.
So, you know, it was good money. It was a good, solid job and everything like that. But it was like... it was almost like a day job, you know, as far as having been involved.
Your playlist was laid out for you. You didn't really have a say. You didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was about, you know, wacky bits again and voices.
Yeah.
You know, like Sid Video. He started off, he was supposed to be like Sid Vicious, but he ended up more like Arthur. And I had heard, I was in Chicago one time and my brother was driving me around. He lived in Chicago for a long time. And this guy, Kevin Matthews, was on the air with his sidekick, Jim Shorts,
right.
with sports.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good
And
name.
They were hilarious. And after about an hour of listening to this, my brother turns to me and he's driving. He says, you know, it's the same guy. I'm like, what are you talking about? he's talking back and forth to himself. He's Kevin and he's Jim Shorts. And I was just like, oh my God, that is the most amazing thing. I'd never heard anything like it.
Wow.
Not taped.
Right.
Live.
Just there.
Jumping back and forth into character. And I tried it a little bit when I got back. And I remember this woman called and she said, you know, y'all are pretty funny, but Sid's real funny. Oh,
well,
thank you,
awesome.
Dog. Thank you, love.
You did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that is
so
awesome.
So the characters were funnier than the host.
That's good.
And then eventually, 1990, Jody Denberg left KLBJ, and I left K98, or we were 96.7 by that point, and Susan Castle and Brian Beck were already there playing on the Smooth Jazz Station, but we took the Smooth Jazz Station into KGSR, still playing some smooth jazz mixed in, like Fat Burger and these bands, and
I don't know what that is.
And we were all so excited about this because Jody and I had been talking about this for years. We'd see each other at shows, and he'd been on KLBJ. He'd played enough Whitesnake for the rest of his life, and I'd played enough Boys to Men to tide me over for a while, and we got to play,
the kind of music guys were going out and seeing.
Exactly.
The kind of,
and so for the first 2 weeks. Nothing but angry jazz fans.
I'm
what
sure.
have you done to my jazz station? I'm like, well, it wasn't really jazz.
Right.
Technically.
Right.
But we, eventually they stopped calling and so I was there for most of the first 16 years.
Let's talk about this because you guys kind of, in my estimation and from what I know from radio people, is that radio format was AAA, right? But you guys were pioneers of it. You guys were one of the stations like K-Rock in LA that when you added something in your genre...
People noticed.
People around the country
right.
noticed. And there were other stations that saw what you were doing and kind of picked up that thing. Is that so?
Yeah. WXRT in Chicago, a very influential station. KBCO in Boulder, Colorado, Denver. In fact, their program director at the time was the one that consulted us and told the owners, hey, if you're going to be a radio station in Austin, you should act like it. KFOG in San Francisco, where he is now, and just, around the country, a few here and there.
What did he mean when he said that to you guys? If you're going to be a radio station in Austin, you should act like it.
Play music that reflects what at least a certain
right.
segment of people are listening to and enjoying and the great music here in town and stuff like that, which wasn't the first time it had ever happened.
Right.
Joe Gracie passed away a couple of months ago after, he had lost his voice, which is ironic for a guy with the great voice that he had. He was the program director of the old Coke FM, the Goat Roper station in the 1970s here in Austin. And I knew Joe a little bit over the years. I'd never heard him speak except on a video I saw one time. But I got people sent me tapes when he passed away a couple of months ago, and I got to hear him on the radio and talking about radio and formats and ratings and stuff like
yeah.
that. And what he was talking about as far as the kind of the philosophy of his programming was very, very close to what KGSR was.
And what was that philosophy to?
Just give people credit for having a brain and for having some musical taste and not having to slam the same song over and over again and think that most people are stupid. Unfortunately, most people are stupid. And they're very happy with,
Yeah.
Repetition. That bears repeating.
Well, let me
they're
ask
happy
you this.
With repetition.
How did you guys... How did you guys choose then your playlist? Did you meet together? Did you test anything at that point?
Jody and Susan met together. It was pretty much the two of them picked the music.
And Jody was a program director
and Susan was
the
music
director. Yeah.
And again, she had already been there when it was smooth jazz, but he quickly learned that she was really good. So they, KGSR was a program station. There was a playlist. It was just a better playlist. And for me, there were enough...
But who dictated the playlist? Like the program director, obviously, and the music director.
Yeah.
But it didn't come from testing in any way as it would in the future.
I think there was some testing over the years. Maybe not
call out, but I mean, like in the beginning,
auditorium testing where you have a bunch of people sit down
with the little
listen.
Number thing, yeah. Or you do a call out.
They
thing.
Eventually
did
that.
Then
eventually, not at first.
That's what I'm trying to say. Is how do they put together the successful playlist just on instinct or?
Yeah, it was a lot of gut yeah. instinct. Like these would be.
That's
good
just
songs.
Something that's not. That's just not a like gut instinct. Isn't something that anybody says anymore in radio, right?
Well,
I mean,
on
in
KUT
commercial radio, right, on commercial radio.
You know, we'll get to KUT in a little bit, but yeah. I tell you what, it's DJ heaven.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
And if anybody tries to
it's
tell
listener
you,
heaven.
Well, thank you, but you know, there's just enough opportunities to present songs in a special feature, and eventually, I got the Texas Music Show, and then we would have. You know, guests all the time coming in the morning. And, you know, when you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you don't think it's that big of a deal to have people come in at 8:30 and play. But now that I've been away from it for a few years, I am really sorry. I am so sorry to all the musicians who are basically nocturnal.
Right.
People of the night.
Right.
For making them do that and swim upstream on I-35 to come up there and see us. It was a little easier when we were in the office building behind Threadgill's, but to right. come up to where KLBJ was. At
oh,
8,
yeah, I forgot about I'm that.
I'm just so sorry.
That's right.
I'm glad I had this opportunity to apologize yeah. to all of those people.
Yeah, you guys, Kevin Saney, sorry.
Yeah.
But we're all grateful that you had us on your show. So
a lot of people stayed up all night. Some of you all were fucked up when you came in. It's so fun to talk into a microphone and swear.
Yeah, you're welcome to do that.
Tit.
I love that. I love that choice. So at KGSR, as times change, because I'm fascinated by this and if you're there for 16 years, then you develop a following of your own of people going to work. And were you in the same spot that whole time? Yeah.
I was actually fired in 1993. And
for what? You know?
Just being me, you know? Just
being a Yankee or something? I don't know. I'm guessing.
I guess I just bugged the hell out of Jody. And he thought that maybe a change in direction in the morning would help. And he brought in Ed Mayberry, and it didn't help.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, I remember that.
I started a job with the City of Austin Convention and Visitors Bureau, kind of created a job that Rose Reyes now has and does very well.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing that and wearing a tie to work. And why you're wearing a tie?
Because I have this Edward Morrow. This is my free time. This is my new favorite job.
Okay. But Johnny's wearing a tie. I am not.
I feel more like Edward Morrow. Like I feel like I'm really doing it. You'll notice that
I'm
even. Would
you like a cigarette? You know, would you like to wear a suit?
Smoke the whole time.
Yes. And then.
Yeah.
You'd be dead like Edward R. Morrow.
I would. So go ahead.
So anyway, took a job in Sacramento, California, at kind of a watered down KGSR, not nearly as adventurous musically, but we had great neighbors, and loved Northern California. Being able to take a Sunday drive to Lake Tahoe or a Sunday drive to Golden Gate Park, everything was just so close, especially compared to Texas.
Yeah.
2 hours from here in most directions. Eh. You know, but there was a lot of stuff to do out there, but we really missed Austin.
Yeah.
And then that station changed format and they didn't need me anymore. And
now, why did it change formats? Is the format just wasn't working in that?
They thought
obviously.
It would do better, you know, as more of a 101X type station. So 12 days before Christmas, a bald-headed gentleman with a Christmas tie told me I didn't speak to the Generation X life group. Seriously. So you want to know what caused us to come back?
Because
I started sending out tapes. I thought, am I going to be one of those guys that goes all over the country? And I flew to Nashville for a couple of days and
did interviews.
I was on the air for a couple of mornings and ran into Steve Earle at a place called Pancake Pantry and was eating pizza next to somebody famous. And, you know, Phoenix and Orlando and Seattle and all these places sending out tapes and thinking, am I going to be one of those guys?
Yeah.
So they had a Stevie Ray Vaughan retrospective on Austin City Limits, and it was on the TV in our living room in Sacramento. And right at the point where my wife said, what do you think we should do? It wasn't the only time she said it, but it was the most memorable. She said, what do you think we should do? The song ends, and you know how the camera pans and stops on somebody in the crowd? I swear to God, I was as close to the TV as I am to you. The camera pans and stops on me.
Yeah, smiling.
About 12 years previous, 83, 84, hair down to my shoulders, skinny as a number two pencil, bright red shirt, and I was so excited because I'm going to be on Austin City Limits.
Yeah.
And I used to watch that show before I ever moved to Texas.
Yeah.
And my wife and I are staring at the TV and staring at each other. And I just said, let's go home. And we did.
Is she from here?
She's from Pampa and Amarillo.
Okay.
But she moved here in 81, the same year I did. But unforgettable. I mean.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. And I told Tommy and Chris that one time, and they were like, whoa.
Yeah.
And
That's so you came back. So did you have
Tommy
a job?
Tommy Shannon
How did
and
you get
Chris
back?
Layton. I'm sorry for the new
Shannon Layton.
People. Huh?
The Double Troubles.
Yeah, he would be a good drummer to talk to.
Yeah, I think I've reached out to him. I did. I have.
Well,
sometimes I'm all wasted and I come home from the mall and I'll send someone start emailing people on
who
Facebook.
Who has turned you down?
No one's actually turned me down. They've said maybe later.
I'll put you off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
Who are you trying to get? Who's your number one get? Because it seems like you're running out of musicians right now.
I'm doing
Saturday DJs.
I'm trying to take it to... No. I'm having conversations about music.
The man who killed
things
folk
that happen race. In the music business and things that happen in radio, which are different. I'm trying to cover the whole spectrum of everything. And I'd like to get also some more touring musicians through too. Just interesting people that have a hand in the music business. You have actually been a big supporter of music, not just a guy that's on the radio, like Loris, like, you know, and like Dale as well. You guys have all, like, I've seen you at my shows, I've seen you at other shows, we've hung out, you know, we've talked, made fun of each other, everything, you know, you can do. So
Not everything.
Maybe with Dale, but
yeah, bring him in sometime. You won't get a word in edgewise.
No, I had him here.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
It was great.
What show number is that? I'll go back and listen.
I've got to tell you. What? Too many.
You know, going back to the Z102 days, that's when Dale, I was on Z102, and the late Dave Markham was my radio partner, and Dale was on KLBJ just starting out, and we actually said just something really lame about them, made fun of them a little bit, just nothing, and they called our GM. We don't really appreciate the fact that you're making this is Dale Dudley. Now imagine, you know, that guy now.
Yeah.
Back then in 1987, saying, "Oh, they shouldn't make fun of us. That's not right."
Yeah. Jesus.
But I got to say that once I stopped getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and being down the hall from those guys, and we got along great, you know, just like.
It was definitely
it's kind
different
of the 6 o'clock
shows,
grunt
you know?
In the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Going, hey.
Yeah.
And, but sometimes we would share a guest. They would stop at one and then hit the other or something like that. And I'd hear them in the kitchen. And anyway, we got along. And Bob Fonseca and everybody on that team. But now that I'm away from it, and for the past several years, I'm a big fan of their show.
Yeah.
Because they're one of the few shows that actually have a conversation. And sometimes it goes down roads that put some people off. You know, it's a little too blue or whatever.
Yeah.
Or a little too egocentric.
Right.
Or something. But sometimes they hit a sweet spot of talking about everyday life or issues that are really important, and it's just great, and they make me laugh.
Well, you know what it must be like to be spontaneous for that long every single day, like 5 days a week, where they're doing like 20 hours a week.
No break, no records. They're not playing any records.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, and fewer bands actually coming into play, as you may have noticed.
And
but I'm a big fan of the Dudley and Bob show, and I just want to say that.
I am too. The one thing that they do too is that they provide
a service.
You're
never up that early.
Yeah, I'm up. I'm up super early.
Why?
In fact, I would do that. I would do a morning show.
Well, this could be the start of something.
Yeah.
Here.
Most of these I do in the morning.
Hey, everybody! It's the Kevin and Johnny show.
Yeah, hey, it's me, Boner. I just want to be Boner for a little while.
Really?
No.
Can we call you Tit?
Tit, that would be my.
It's Kevin and Tit in the morning.
It's me, Tit. Hey, it was a rough night. I think I'm still up. I don't really know.
Take your shirt off. Tit's gonna go down to the 7-Eleven. He's gonna stand there. And...
So I when I was a kid and I listened to the radio, I felt close to my DJs. I felt close. I felt like I had a connection with them. Now I feel like in these days in commercial radio, there isn't much of that. And the one thing that the Dudley and Bob show does provide is some of that personality, mm-hmm. which I think that you're able to do with your show as well, because people that. Yeah, you get your following. Like, oh, Kevin might play something new, you know, this weekend. So-and-so is coming into town. You know, maybe I'll hear what this person's like. Do you get that? Do you ever get thanks for that from people?
Yes. Yeah. And it is always just such a pleasure.
Yeah.
And even though I've been gone from KGSR now for, it'll be 6 years in March, or April.
Wow.
April. Yeah, it doesn't seem that long, but I still get people coming up saying, I used to listen to you every morning, and frankly, you know, whatever changes in KGSR, it's not my fault.
Right.
But also with KUT, I, you know, just on 5 hours on Saturday, I, you know, when I run into people, especially people that I know, and especially musicians,
yeah.
and people that work in the music business, and I... When I'm on the air, I don't really think that they're listening,
right?
But they are, and yeah. and I'm genuinely, you know, very pleased and honored, and I just love it, and I can't have as much fun on the radio as I'm having on KUT, and yet act like I'm not. You know, I can't try to be dispassionate in public radio and all of that stuff. I just can't.
Right,
you know,
right.
Some people can be...
Yeah, you're yourself.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
And if I get into a set of tunes and I'm having a good time, you're going to know it.
Yeah.
And I got on a run last week, and I didn't want to stop, you know, because, again, at 11 o'clock, I still, and nobody's telling me to do this, it's just I kind of feel this way myself. I still kind of stay true to the folkways tradition for a little while at the start of the show. This could be some bluegrass or singer-songwriter or something. And frankly, isn't everybody a singer-songwriter? That's kind of a dumb label.
Yeah.
But Americana is really kind of the sweet spot for the first couple of hours of the show. And then after 1 o'clock, after the news, it could be almost anything. But Ben Queller has this new song uh-huh. called Jealous on his new album
uh-huh.
that is just this big Phil Spector, Bruce Springsteen, wall of sound production thing that is so cool. And you have to honor that song by playing something else as big, and it usually ends up Springsteen. I got to find something else
right.
to match it.
Right.
And then Springsteen begat Arcade Fire,
right.
which begat The Clash, which
right.
begat, you know, Wilco. And it's just like, you get on a little ride, and it's just so much fun. You don't.
Is that how you do it? You come in with like one or two songs to start off with, and then you just kind of go with what?
Yes. Some people prefer to have their whole show laid out. You know, the whole thing.
I think I would veer from that if I did that.
Well, it prevents you from having train wrecks sometimes, you know, and or just getting caught with your pants down having the right song and everything like that. But I like it, and I know some of the other guys like it, to just be like, have the music kind of take you to the next song.
Right.
And going back to WBCN in Boston, Tommy Hadges, who became a big executive in... Actually, corporate rock radio, but he was a great DJ back in the day. And I'm back answering the phones at BCN, and I see him walking through the music library with his fingers kind of in his ears. And I stuck my head in and said, "What are you doing?" And he looks up and goes, "I'm listening for the next song." I was like, "Oh, cool!"
Wow.
You know, because you listen to
yeah.
I try to build off the current song.
Yeah,
because we have a little shelf of current music, the best new stuff over here, and you know. Please play a couple of these out an hour and write it down on the cover so that the next guy doesn't play the same song.
Right.
And that's it.
Wasn't it like... Oh,
so
sorry, go ahead.
So you hear something in that brand new Ben Queller and you want to build off of that. You know, what does that remind you of? And it may be a classic song or it may be just something else new, but kind of complementing the current tune. And that's what I like to do. It's fun that way.
That's amazing because that's something that's just not on commercial radio anymore. But it was at one point, was it not? Because I'm always wondering because I always felt like...
Yes, there was a time, and again, going back to WBCN, that guy that was listening for the next song, over time, he realized that where the money was to be in formatic AOR radio programming, and Jeff Pollack, who was the consultant for KLBJ, as they became more conservative. But, you know, KLBJ used to be able to play what you want.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have a computer script even at K98 when I was first there.
Right.
You know, it was very much more of a handmade kind of thing.
Right.
And, but really now, for the most part, those free-form or close to free-form radio stations are all public radio stations.
Right.
KUT, WXPN in Philadelphia, WFUV, the Fordham station in New York, KCRW in Los Angeles. You know, those are the kind of stations. The Current in Minneapolis, which is actually, they do have a format and a playlist and everything like that. But this is where people who are kind of listening for new music is where they have to go now.
Right.
Unless, you know, your choice in new music is new top 40 hits or new country.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's different places. You know, Chris Mosier on KVET at night.
Yeah.
The Roadhouse.
Yeah.
He's doing a great job promoting Texas music, Texas country. Oh, yeah. You know, all those guys.
I miss Chris.
Huh?
I like Chris.
And now he's doing mornings as well.
Oh, good.
So good luck to him. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's
and, you
a
know,
good guy.
There's places on different channels that they're doing it.
Yeah.
And then there's people in charge of some channels that they don't care about any of that. You know, they just don't care about, it's just more of a mechanical scientific process.
Yeah.
And they've taken the soul out of it.
Yeah.
And that's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad. But I mean, it's, I guess with, I mean, do you think that public radio's popularity has risen? Do you guys, on your pledge drives, I donate. Do you guys...
Thank you.
Do you guys get a lot
Not
of,
during my show.
No, I
no,
did it...
You, what?
I think I just do it when I hear it, and I feel guilty as I drive. Like, yeah, seriously.
It's
well,
funny.
Because you always read it those sounds, things that they're like, they're going to take away the funding for NPR and all this stuff. And then
No. We never do that. We never say
anything
like that.
You never say that, but I read that on, you know, in other mediums.
KUT's doing good.
Okay, good.
It was almost $1 million.
Good, because it's a very important, you know, service that they provide, because that's the last bastion of, like, free radio.
And you know, the news and information is stellar as well.
Yeah.
Some people in the NPR world ask management at KUT, why are you still playing music? You know, you would do so well as an all news and talk and information channel, because Morning Edition is by far the number one morning show in town here.
Really?
And all things considered in the afternoon, huge ratings.
Yeah, well, they're great shows.
But they know that, you know, people love both.
Yeah.
So maybe, I know this is a long-term goal, KUT is to have, you know, one all news and information and one all music. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
And they did that up in Dallas, you know, KERA.
Oh, that...
They spun off, and then they have a second KTX, I think, or KXT.
Yeah.
And it's more like KGSR from what I could see. You know, it's, in fact, the guy.
Is that one that Redbeard?
No.
He actually had like a Lone Star radio station for
a while. For a while. I don't think it lasted.
No.
Every once in a while, somebody tries something. I'd love to try something. Because I tell you what, to be honest with you, you know,
do you do any podcasts or anything like
that?
Do you do podcasts or anything like that?
I don't do a podcast.
You can cuss. Tit.
Fuck, I never thought about that shit, man. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
This still feels so wrong to do
it. It does,
I'm looking
it?
At the mic
going...
Somehow they're going to catch me for this.
My apartment manager is going to open the door and be like, "Hey, Kevin Connor, there's no delay on this."
Oh, well. But, you know, I still think that in addition to what KUT does, I still think there's room in town for another great radio station that really reflects what's going on here in Austin.
Yeah.
And I think that's... It's not just a responsibility or anything like that. Well, we really should help out the local. No, you get to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, guys like you and Ailey.
Oh,
and
I'm the
Lori
biggest homer
Gallagos
this side of Craig
like
Way,
a,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, the guy on the sports show? Light the Tower Orange, the Longhorns have won. You know? And I call him a homer, and I'm like that too. But I must admit, I just think some of the music in this town is really great,
yeah,
and doesn't, for some reason, break through the way it should. And I don't know why. I don't know why. When was the last time we had a big band come out of Austin? Spoon?
Yeah.
And by the time they really broke, Brett was living in Portland, and they're kind of all spread out and everything like that. But with so many good bands in town, is it because there's not the management infrastructure and all of that stuff that people talk about? Or do people get just kind of comfortable? You know, what is it?
You can make a living here. You know what I mean? And I
you
think
can get
that
by,
you
mean?
Can. Yeah, but I mean, like, it's not really. Yeah. I mean, because I mean, I'm a person that went out and got a deal, and I've toured like crazy, and I've done stuff, and I enjoy my quality of life here. Mm-hmm. I've thought of moving before, but my family's close by,
right?
And this is a place where I can do my thing and exist.
And the Skyrocket gig,
and the Skyrocket,
which is a
gig,
great show,
really helps a lot.
Makes it affordable for you to live.
Yeah, to do my own band and not worry about.
You wouldn't believe this place, by the way. I never have seen an indoor swimming pool.
Yeah.
In a 3-story home like this.
Just wait till I take you to the hot tub
on
the roof.
Where's the basketball court I heard about?
Oh, it's in the basement. But I'm turning in the highlight court because I'm Cuban. The guy that had it before me was black and he had a basketball court, but I'm bringing in the highlight court finally.
I'm much better at basketball than highlight. I suck at highlight.
Really? It's my first language.
So anyway, I think that, you know, Austin should be the home base for artists, you know, and it should be a nurturing home, but you do have to get out of town a little bit in order to make a living.
Yeah.
And those Texas country guys, you know, they have a nice circuit in Texas. Those guys can make a good living just in Texas.
Who can you tell us about that you've heard lately that people might not know about outside of the new Ben Queller song that blows your mind? Is there some new artist that you've come across, maybe a young artist that people might not have heard of yet?
Well, I don't know if enough people have heard of Erin Ivey. I thought I was supposed to bring some records. I brought one of hers. And do you have this? Because I have doubles. I will give this to you, Johnny.
Thank you.
My gift to you.
Thank you.
Because if you haven't had her on, you should.
No, I will. I'll have
because
her on.
Two things. She's a great musician.
Yeah.
And she is a great conversationalist.
Oh, good.
And that's important in a radio show like this.
Yeah.
But that's Erin Ivey and the Finest Kind. The album is called Broken Gold. And
a lot of my friends on this.
Yeah. And I picked it a year ago. I said one Saturday, you know, this is my new favorite record.
Really?
And she sent me a text. Can I quote you on that? I figured it was just going to be, you know, on a press release or, you know, on her website or something, you know, the little quotes that people put. And I go into Waterloo Records one day and there's a sticker on the album and it says 5 stars Austin Monthly, my new favorite album, Kevin Connor KUT. And I was astounded.
Flattered?
Oh, are you kidding? Yeah. Honored. I'd never been on a sticker before, never quoted like that, you know, and that was really cool.
That's awesome.
And you know what? She hung on to the top slot the whole year and finished the year. Dawes gave her a very good run. I really like the band Dawes.
Yeah, Langer was talking about them too.
Yeah. And both Andy and I picked them number two for the year. But it was my favorite album of the year, really.
Yeah.
Not just... And you know those top 10 lists and everything that everybody does. And sometimes these critics, not naming any names, roll... they feel like they have to put, you know, a couple of big indie hits and then something you've never heard of.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I defy you to know this album.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, come on.
That's like the hipster joke. How many hipsters does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't know. How many?
The number is so obscure you wouldn't know it.
How many Austin music fans does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't know.
One and nine to stand around and talk about how cool the old light bulb was.
So, Kevin Connor, you're on KUT Saturdays, 11 to 4.
11 to 4, that's right.
KUT 90.5 FM. You can listen to it online if
you're
not in
Texas. I would
like
to be on more if you would like to, you know.
I'll write letters.
Thank you.
I'll write letters.
It's very competitive, though. You know?
I bet it is. It's a small... People have had their jobs there for a long time.
John Ailey's been there for about 40 years.
I thought you were going to say it's the dawn of man. Since for 40 years, like that guy's literally been doing that job since I was three.
Yep. Really? You're 43?
I'm 43. I love John Ailey, though. He's a good guy. He always tells me the same thing, that my name means joy in Latin.
You know.
Yeah. And it only takes me like 12 seconds to start talking exactly like him.
Oh, I heard him this morning. I was driving in. He's talking about Ryan Adams' record. And it says here that the album was produced by Glyn Johns. And I thought he was going to say something about Glyn Johns, great producer going back to the Stones and stuff like that. Which is very close to Glynis Johns, the great stage actress. But I don't think they're related. It's like, you know, bing, 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 Ricochet Rabbit, or whatever. Would it kill you to play two songs in a row, Johnny?
You don't have
to stop after every song and tell us whether or not you like it.
You
can play two in a row. That's
what's
fun.
I love that you can be that dude and have a job like that, because that means that it's great. I mean, because sometimes I'm like,
you know,
this guy's insane.
A website that shit that John Ailey says?
I follow it on Twitter.
Oh. Okay.
I actually do. Yeah. I look forward to things he says. When I can't listen to him, I like to just read the stuff he says.
But, you know, if he ever decides to hang up the headphones, that'd be very competitive.
You'd have to get pretty weird to, I mean, whoever would fill it, I guess it wouldn't be Eclecticos anymore without him.
Jody's already Friday morning. He's the Friday morning Eclecticos guy.
Oh,
so
awesome.
Many people would consider him to have the inside track for that position should it become open at some time in the future.
He'd need to get a little weirder, too.
Yeah, lighten up, Francis.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure Matt Riley and a bunch of people would like to have that gig.
Yeah.
You know?
So South by Southwest.
But I'm from Boston. I know how to fight dirty.
Yeah.
You know?
Look out.
Yeah.
You're like the Departed over here.
The Departed? Yeah. Oh, my God. When they were running that all the time on HBO... My voice comes back when I talk about these movies. The Departed. And some critic wrote, and Matt Damon and whoever were affecting their thick Boston accents. I'm like, fucking Matt Damon's from fucking Cambridge. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
He's talking normal.
Yeah.
And then with The Town.
Yeah.
God, they run that. Anytime
I
wake up in the middle of the night and I turn on the TV, I should not go to HBO because they have The Town on and it sucks me in again.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. The nerve of them to rob Fenway Park.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That takes brass balls. I tell you that, Johnny Gowdy.
Fenway Park.
Fenway Park.
Let's talk about Fenway Park. So South by Southwest is coming up. You
really? They're doing that again this year? Yeah.
And what number is this?
26.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been to them all. That I remember.
Yeah. So what do you have to do, like, when it happens? Like, it's a year-round job now. When you first worked, when they first had the very first one in 86.
Do you remember Kevin Bacon's small part in Animal House?
Yeah.
Near the end, when they have the riotous parade and everything, and he puts his hands up, he's in uniform. Remain calm!
That's you.
And then he gets flattened?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. I'm going to be just flattened by the crowd.
Are you looking forward to anyone in particular? You think you'll get to see anyone, or do you have to...
Well,
maybe the boss?
Well, that would be nice. You know, Bruce Springsteen, and that's something that Andy Flynn at South By, who does the panels and the keynotes and stuff, he has been trying for probably 10 years to get that to happen. Yeah. Because you know what it is with something like Bruce Springsteen? It has to kind of fit the arc of his schedule.
Yeah, and
if
this
he's,
time it
if
just
he's
totally
home,
does,
and, you know,
right?
Those kind of guys, they time this all out with the new album, which comes out March 6th on Columbia Records. And then he'll be speaking at South By on Thursday, March 15th at 11 a.m. at the Austin Convention Center, Ballroom D. And then hopefully, you know, I would imagine everywhere that Alejandro plays around town, people will be there thinking that Bruce is going to show up, or Joe Ely and stuff like that. But hopefully he will do some of that stuff. And you know what? The thing about Bruce Springsteen, not only do I love his music, heard the new song though.
Eh.
He has this image of being this kind of guy. Hey, big man. Yeah, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you really listen to him and listen to what he has to say, he's brilliant.
Yeah, he is brilliant.
He's brilliant and eloquent.
Yeah, incredibly.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, good.
And I hope I get to do it. But you know, it is something that it is... You know, at the top of everybody that works at South By, at the top of everybody's agenda is safety.
Yeah.
You know, because there were
a couple of incidents last year.
You know, and again, that's because there's not only all the people coming for South By Southwest, now there's thousands
yeah.
of people just saying, oh, yeah, we got to go down there. That's all
that's
happening.
That's where it's all happening. Yeah. Kanye might be there again. What?
Yeah.
Where's Jay-Z this time?
I can't tell you who has not been announced yet.
Okay. So you guys, when do you announce it?
Well, 1,500 bands have been announced.
Oh, okay.
And they're on the website.
Oh, but the Kanye's and Jay-Z's haven't been announced yet.
No.
They're very special
they
or whatever.
They didn't do an official showcase last year either.
Oh, okay.
And you know, that would really kind of cause the whole thing to implode if it turns into that, where the superstars are just coming to play private parties.
Right.
You know, and then it's like, well, why get a badge? You know, why don't I just work on getting a hotel room
and sneak into the Jay-Z party,
or, you know, finding out who has the badge, you know, that thing. So I think it's really important for the superstar artists that do want to come and participate.
Right.
To, you know, play an actual showcase. And then you can still do the other stuff, you know.
Right. What's your take on like the other, there's other like other festivals that we don't have to name them, but there's other festivals that people have kind of like lopped in. Oh, I'm going to have my, Riverside Music Festival during South by Southwest, you know, at the thing.
This one's
going to be free. Yeah. It's going to be South by Riverside, by Johnny's apartment this time. What's going on? I've got a piano, you know.
Well, I think that some of them are really good and some of them aren't.
Yeah.
And there's a few, and I don't really know, they try to find clubs downtown that aren't participating in South by Southwest and get in there. And I think some of them take advantage of.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're taking advantage of something that somebody else built, and they're just jumping. I mean, it's like, I don't know what that term is. Is that a carpet bagger?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just like jumping, it's our festival, but this one's free, you know.
So, you know, I think that it's important for South by Southwest to protect its brand.
Yeah, of course.
Because, I mean, when you have a company that's basically trying to pay the bills for a year and pay a pretty large full-time staff. Back when I worked for them the first time.
Yeah, I was going to say
in
about
87,
that.
There were only about 3 people there after it was over.
Okay.
You know, and everybody else was seasonal.
And now?
I don't know as far as full-time all year, but it's like 60, 70,
Jesus,
something like
that's
that.
A lot.
Yeah, and then tons more come in for a short time. And you know, you got to pay those people a salary year-round and keep the office open and do all of that stuff. And it takes a whole year to plan for it and then to kind of take care of the details afterwards.
Well, then there's this other bottom-feeding idea that these guys like hang out and wait for you guys to set up your stuff, and then whatever clubs aren't participating, they jump in and try and find whatever disgruntled Austin bands that
try to get in ahead of them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's all that stuff. But fortunately, I don't have to worry about that. That's other people down the hall.
Yeah, good.
You know, what I get to do, a part of what I get to do, is kind of cover South by Southwest from the inside. Part of my job, I get to go down that list of artists and find something interesting that I didn't know about and write about it for the website. And I've really kind of gotten into the little hyperlinks.
Yeah.
So if you go to my stories on the South by Southwest music page, I'm trying to send you to interesting places. What is that?
What's the address there?
SXSW.com.
But what is your particular?
Oh, just go to music. Just go to music and then scroll down. And if you see Kevin, you know, sometimes I throw in little things that are kind of a fun little, like Rainn Wilson, the actor on The Office, who's also he was here last year for a big movie, and then he also had a little movie where he's kind of obsessed by the music of Blitz and Trapper, and he wants to jam with them, and they kind of put him off, and he kills all of them in this little 9-minute movie.
Wow.
And it was a lot of fun. So he has a great Twitter feed, and so in one of my little links, it goes to his Twitter feed. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's a way to pass the time.
Do you tweet as well?
No, I don't.
You don't have to.
I'm a Facebook aficionado.
Yeah.
Twitter just seemed like
a little too much.
I did sign up for it and probably should just get the hang of it, just so if somebody asks me that in a situation where they want to invest in me,
Yeah.
I can say, well, of course, I have 14 followers.
Yeah.
And I follow three people. My brother and Rain Wilson and Johnny Gowdy.
Yeah. My favorite tweeter. So did we miss anything? You feel like we've covered? This has been a good... You've interviewed me for a long time.
Are you
going to walk away from this and tell your other interview friends, like, ah, Johnny?
It is so weird, you know, because I'm always asking the questions. And to be on the other side of that is interesting. But this is more like a conversation.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, you're not grilling me.
Yeah.
You didn't ask about the stuff that I'm really glad you didn't ask about.
Yeah.
And, but no, it's fun. So, favorite, I tried
what?
To burn, I bought the OJ's I Love Music.
Okay.
And hopefully it'll play.
Yeah, and we'll play it on the outro. I just wanted to use that song DJ for you for the beginning.
Well, thank you. But the thing about the philosophy, if I have a philosophy of music and radio, it's in the OJ song. I love music, every kind of music. I love music just as long as it's grooving. And I really feel
you
that.
You can tell.
I mean, I love the folk and Americana and that kind of stuff. But, man,
I
wouldn't want to do that for 5 hours.
Yeah.
And to be able to, you know, play a soul set and then play some jazz and then play some rock and roll.
Yeah.
And not this kind of, you know, what did I hear it called recently in England? They call some of these bands landfill indie. You know, they're just soulless.
Yeah, no,
just kind
soulless.
Of,
they're just trying to sound like what's
and
happening.
Yeah. And
same thing that happened with hair bands. At some point, some hair band was really good. And then, you know, 60,000 hair bands down the line, it was awful.
Yeah. What was the good hair band?
I don't know.
Bon Jovi?
No.
And I never thought they were that great, but then looking back on time, you know, you go, that really was pretty good.
Bon Jovi.
Yeah. They had a lot
of
hair.
He really saw a million faces and rocked them all.
Huh?
I said he really did see a million faces and rock them all.
He certainly did. Now he's doing Advil commercials and getting well paid for it.
Yeah.
Did you have big hair at some point?
Yeah. Yeah, it's on Facebook.
Okay.
I had long hair. It wasn't too big. I was more into the English people then.
Oh, really?
And black people.
Did you start talking that way?
No.
No?
But
never?
I sang like that a little
bit.
I don't
little
think
bit.
There are recordings.
A little bit.
I don't think there's any recordings of me actually singing like that, man.
There's a recording of Paul Simon. Apparently, he had spent a year in London, and he came back, and it was some festival in California.
What
and
about
it was,
like Madonna and stuff like that?
It was comical.
Like that?
But Paul Simon, who's
yeah.
you know starting to sound a little bit like, you know, hey. Want to come over for some soup?
Yeah.
But him as a young man trying to talk English. Or
sounded like Peter Falk.
Somebody.
That really sounded like Peter Falk. The want to come over for some soup?
You know, the one thing that bothers me is your soup, Mr. Simon. I can taste the poison. You killed your wife, didn't you?
Now, one thing's bothering me about this. I can't even do it. You're
you know,
so good at this.
You know, yeah. Here I was thinking the whole time I was wrong. And Paul Simon, you're a murderer.
Yeah,
I figured it out.
Kevin Conrad, you love music?
Any kind of music, just as long as it's grooving.
Listen to him.
Like Liars and Saints.
Like Liars and Saints.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey,
and Skyrocket.
And
man,
Skyrocket.
If you've not been to a Skyrocket show.
Skyrocket shows, it's pretty awesome. It's like a Bob station.
You know.
It is, but with live people.
I don't listen to Bob that much. I don't mind it. But you know what? Actually, it's the True Oldies channel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that.
Which this guy, Scott Shannon, who used to be a big New York DJ, I guess he's just doing it like in
you know,
his
we all
spare
love,
room.
We all love Scott Shannon.
Scott Shannon!
Yeah,
I'm going to do a bit now that has no end and is not funny.
Yeah.
And all I'll say at the end is, it's the True Oldies channel! And they'll jingle out. That's what you call it.
True
just jingle
oldies.
Out. But they play pretty good music.
Someone's vibrating. I think it must be me somewhere
else. It must
else.
Be you. But... And then it's so weird sometimes when you're listening to that and you go, God, that's really an oldie. Blondie is an oldie.
Yeah.
And then you think, well, it's 30 years old. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's an oldie.
It's an oldie.
But a goodie.
Yeah. Well, listen to Kevin's show Saturdays on KUT 90.5.
And in February when we have the pledge drive, pledge to my show like Patty Griffin does or did until I asked her about it. I said, are you the Patricia Griffin that pledges on my show.
And then she never pledged again?
And hasn't since. You know, I guess I embarrassed her.
Maybe Robert Plant will start.
Maybe Robert Plant would do that, wouldn't it?
Is that Kevin's show? Give him
now,
some money.
Now, is that pretty badass or what? That Robert Plant lives in Travis Heights.
Isn't that weird? You just gave away where he lived. Now there's going to be like tons of
kids.
Oh,
I didn't give it away. Everybody in Travis Heights, too rich for my blood, that neighborhood, talks about it all the time.
I call this East Travis Heights.
You keep doing that. It might catch on.
All right, Kevin.
East Travis Heights.
Thanks for coming on the show.
But you have the lovely lake here, which is very nice.
Yeah, it's over this way. It's looking good. I live on the lake and I'm in Travis Heights. I have a lot of things going on. And I'm in Hyde Park. I'm by the university. I'm downtown.
ETH.
I'm on the east side.
ETH. I'm over in the ETH.
I'm everything good.
I'm close to the beauty ballroom.
Kevin Connor, KUT. 90.5 FM.
God bless America.
11:05, 11:04 on Saturday.
How did I get here? They're not my workman's wages.
All right, man. That was a good time. I'm glad Kevin came by. I'm glad we were able to sit down and chat. I know his life is going to get really busy right now with South by Southwest, but listen to his show when you get a chance. He's got great taste in music, and he always turns me on to new stuff. In fact, he turned me on to Aaron Ivey and The Finest Kind. This is a song called Sorrow No More from her album Broken Gold. Thanks for listening, everyone. Talk to you soon.